Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. Sorry babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my god, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you.
Bismillah. Hey, Sean, we on?
Yes. I'm on.
With me. All right. Okay, Krista, alhamdulillah. Once again, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, mubaddah. Yes, sir, in the name of Allah, alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks is for Allah, and may his salutations and praise be upon the Prophet Muhammad. And you know what I'm saying, surely we're here to proceed now with this first broadcast, return broadcast, Point of Impact. All praise and thanks to the Lord that we're here again. We're about to bang it out today. I'm real excited. But I want y'all to meet my very special sister. My sister in struggle, my sister in the heart. And, yo, man, please introduce. I want to introduce y'all all to our co-host, my co-host, my partner, my shine, Miss Krista Ellison. Yo, what's up? Speak to the people, sis.
Hello, hello. How are you doing? How is everybody?
And we here tonight, me and Krista, and we're going to take this show to another level, inshallah, as we all journey. This is a journey that we all going to partake together. This is a community journey. This is a family journey. This is a journey for the people. And we're going to travel it together. And, man, I can't even imagine what it's going to bring. How about you, Krista? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know, this is our time. I always have told you that, like, I believe that, you know, a lot of us were preserved and set aside for this time. So I'm truly excited, truly blessed to be, you know, given this platform and this journey. So I'm ready.
That's right. And we want y'all to know that, of course, we are both united in our call and our task and our struggle. You know, Community of United Folk is Cuffs. And, of course, we're here now as a team. Freedom over everything. You know, FOE, we are here. We do or die. And I'm so grateful by the grace of Allah to have such an esteemed partner and such an esteemed team. We want to give shout-outs to the founders of Freedom Over Everything. You want to let everybody know who they are, Sister Krista, your team?
Yes, we have our great founder. His name is Nadir Salam, Abdullah Salam. We have Kevin Dickerson, and then we have Oliver Adams. They're all still behind the walls, you know, at Buckingham Correctional
Facility.
Still
behind the walls.
Yes.
Yeah, and we all, you know, and for those of you who may not know, of course, me, Derek Hansford, a.k.a. D. Hans, a.k.a. Malai, a.k.a. Ben Hatch. You know what I'm saying? I'm here. And you know, all of y'all know that I'm the founder and team leader, of course, of the most beautiful organization, Community United Focus Cuffs. And, you know, as everybody knows, and those who don't know, if you don't know, Community United Focus Cuffs began its journey behind the, you know, walls behind the barbed wire city, you know, within the barbed wire cities in Virginia, you know, with these plantations that they warehouse all of these strong and intelligent and courageous men who got caught slipping. And I was one of them, you know. I was one of them. So, alhamdulillah, we're here. Tonight, as you all know, is the premiere night. We kicking off the season. We kicking off the year. And, you know, we got plans. We got a lot of guests coming in. We're getting ready to work on getting a beautiful brother by the name of Beda. A beautiful brother, some of you may know, by the name of Catchmo. We're trying to catch up to him. Catchmo, we're trying to catch up to you. And then we got brother Willie. Brother Willie's going to be coming up. We're trying to catch up to him real soon. And a lot more hosts. We even got some guests coming in that was featured in our last season that spoke and came to as guests and represented Shaquille Ali, you know, my brother Mikael, Ian and Barbara Lounge, and, you know, a lot of the guests that attended the first time will be returning, as, of course, my beautiful sister, my brother-in-law, you know, my sister Nikki and my brother-in-law Rick, they're returning with Osric Ingredients in Tomorrow's Change. And as always, please, everyone, if you are having any type of mental health issues or if you have any type of issues that you feel that is affecting your mental growth, please contact Tomorrow's Change. Go online. You can. The website is live, functional, and listen, reach out to Tomorrow's Change. That is correct. That's what I said. Tomorrow's Change. Tomorrow's Change. Okay? So, you know, we're here tonight, and we're going to talk about an array of topics, basically focused tonight on, you know, an issue that relates very deeply. So we're going to get right to the point. We're not going to go into this, you know, this is a direct talk show. We're not the average show. We get into the basic meat of things. We're not sitting around nibbling around the skin and all of that now. We're going right to the meat. Right, Krista?
Exactly.
So, I don't know if many of you know, but American Africans, they consist of five times of the population of imprisonment in the United States compared to Caucasian people or white people. It's like five times greater. So, but a lot of times we talk about a lot of the surrounding issues of incidents that take place. Recently, me and my family was affected personally by the and by the great loss of my brother, who's my cousin, but he's my brother. We were raised together in the same home. We ate together, we slept together, we wore each other's clothes. You know, we lived life, and his life was taken in a facility of the federal established institutions, okay, in Essex County. And we laid him to rest March the 9th. But the sad thing about his death and the death of many of men in the prison system, Krista, and this is the thing that disturbs me the most, is that these men are dying by gang-related issues. And what happens is, what I found out, Krista, is a lot of times these things take place. Your family hears about it. People hear about it. The next thing you know, you hear nothing else in response as to what happened. Did the investigation succeed? Did they find out the people? You don't hear any news report. You don't hear any comeback reports to, you know, inform you. You understand what I'm saying? And it's like, what? It's ridiculous. It's like, you know, there are so many parents and family members out there whose family members have been brutally or assaulted and killed in prisons, and there's really no answers.
And they don't have a clue.
They don't have a clue. A lot of these situations go, you know, without the family members ever really getting an answer. You know, so with my family, we've experienced a lot of pain from this, and I really would like to hear what a lot of my family members have to share about their vibes or their feelings pertaining to my brother AJ, Allah Just Ronald Hammond, you know what I'm saying, the second. And Ronald Hammond Jr. You know, it's just heartbreaking, you know. And me, you know, my experience, my 25 years in prison, I've seen a lot of life loss. I've seen that personally. And just to have the experience myself, losing my brother, man, I can't even begin to understand the suffering. So, you know, my thing is to speak. You call it what?
I call it the battlefield because, you know, for one, we're given a shorthand of the stick when we're putting projects. So that's one battlefield. Then you get locked up for becoming a product of your environment. That's the second battlefield, is prison. And then, you know, we even have those who go off to war. That's the third battlefield. So we're, you know, if you want to do something of your life, you join the army, but then you place another battlefield. So oversight for me, you know, the lack of oversight on the battlefield is just, or in these institutions, you know, is poor.
It's ridiculously poor because you should be going into an institution that is for people who have been criminals and their criminal behavior is supposed to be suppressed when they go into prison, not heightened. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you go into the prison, when you go into the prison system, that the criminal behavior is heightened. It's heightened.
It most definitely is. I'm sure it is.
You know, the I'm talking about, man, now dudes become innovative. You know, they become innovative, man, in all kind of ways. So, I'm just tired of no answers. Not just for my family, but for all the many families of people who lost. And then one of the things too, we gotta stop doing as people, we gotta stop selling out everything for dime monetary gain. And then we say, you know, we let it go, or we get tired of the fight. You know, I hear so many people, you know, when you bring these issues to them, they're like, man, listen, you know, I'm tired of it. They don't want to change. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to do this. They don't want to rectify this. Come on, man. Listen, if that was the case,
I always say when one of y'all are hurting, I'm hurting. You know, I'm a woman first, you know, and we're left the abandoned when you all go away. And then when you all are in there fighting to get back home, we're fighting to stay afloat until you can come back home. And then society doesn't really accept you when you are out, or they can brainwash the women into thinking that you all are not needed. So I get it. It's a constant fight. There is no peace, or there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and we're fighting for the light. We're fighting to find the light at the end of the tunnel.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm just, you know, I don't really know what there is to be done. I know that, you know, there's a lot of times you hear all the excuses. We hear investigations. We hear this. We hear that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's really a crying, like, it's a disaster. It's a shame to lose your family in any form, you know, to where the institutions that are governing this, our society, do not protect our community. And the crazy thing, it's not ironic, but, you know, it is ironic that why would we expect them to protect our family members in prison or in any other side when they don't even protect us in the society?
it's called the Department of Corrections. I'm so confused why they call it the Department of Corrections. What behavior is being corrected? They need to change that whole thing.
Outside of the individual, you know what I'm saying? So outside of the individual taking that task on themselves without any, you know, just being motivated themselves to say, hey, I'm going to change, you know, who I am and how I present myself, you know? Yeah, you're right. You know, that's a heck of a question. Like, what is the need that you guys, Department of Corrections? And I've, you know, that's a question I even spoke on years ago when I was in Prison Island, man. Department of Corrections.
I looked it up. I read over the model. I read over the chain of command. It does not add up. It's not what they're saying that they're supposed to. Their model does not match their actions. Their model does not. When
right.
You know, I have 14 men on my JPay that I'm in constant conversation with. And a lot of times when one of the 14 call me, they put me on the phone with 3 to 4 other gentlemen that's incarcerated just to stay high, just to get a piece of outside air, you know what I'm saying, just to escape for a minute. And the conversations that we have is nothing of structured programs. What y'all doing? None. They ain't got nothing for us right now. But you make them sign in. They make them sign up for school, and they make them clock in or clock at, sign up like they went to school for the day just to keep their funding for the program. But you ain't doing funding.
And then the money is not reestablished back into the institutions. Like, the money, we don't even know. You don't know where the money goes. Like, the money is the institutions themselves. There's no innovations being input to heighten security, you know what I'm saying, to make things better for the conditions of the people.
It's not medical is not being.
Right.
There's no medical.
No, medical is definitely not being asserted in the proper manner. Without a doubt,
the basic human rights, not even the basics,
You're talking about a whole nother topic right there. So you're talking about a whole nother. That's a that when you talk about the medical in prison, you're talking about a whole nother story right there. Yes, sir. You know, one of the books I wrote in Deerfield is entitled Bloodsuckers. You know what I'm saying? And the shun conversation, and that's one of the things I talk about. Like, you know, listen, man, if you only know how. When I was at Deerfield, a person could be on parole. I witnessed my first 3 months back there. Six men died in that institution who were all within each one of them. Out of all six of them, they were three. I think it was two, if I can remember correctly, two or three of them were supposed to go home within like a day or two. and the people would not release him, and they allowed him to die in the system, knowing that their illnesses would prevent them from, you know, they're not able to go out and be even consider doing a crime. They're, you know, they're just not in that physical. And they would keep them to the last final day, man. Like, it's just ridiculous just to get that dollar. So, you know, like I said,
it's a continual fight. It's a continual fight to have minimum rights to even get the for incarcerated people, for the men and women that are behind the walls. You have religious liberties. You have right to adequate. You have medical care that needs to be done. And, you know, like the basic human rights are stripped. You got to walk a certain way. You got to, you know, everything is tedious work. And then they're so trained to, you know, attack or meet violence with violence instead of fixing the problem or getting down to the root of the problem. And back to what you were talking about before, if a young man overdosed in prison, there's a shakedown of the whole prison.
Yeah.
Not counseling.
The whole prison.
Not counseling for those who lost a loved one. Because that person is just like your family member you've been living with in a cell with him for so long.
That's right.
But your stuff get ripped up and torn up. Or your stuff is dismantled and your whole
You're unable to suppress any of the grief because you're being attacked. And then you do suppress it, but you suppress it in a manner that is there's no relief. There's no like you got it because you got to deal with it. And then a lot of the men go through the, and that's a good point that you brought out, because a lot of us would actually go through the anxiety of frustration, because now you know what's coming. You know what's coming. You know they're getting ready to shake you down. Here, this has been an individual who was. That's right. You're under investigation. But
for somebody else.
But the authority is not under investigation. The
everybody. If you're gonna tear up my living space, you should be tearing up the office of the locker and offices of everybody.
See, my feeling is, when you have any death that occurs into an institution, any death, the investigation should proceed from outside of the institution.
Exactly.
It should not
not
be,
the inside.
You know, not within the institution, and then you're going to tell me that you investigated. Come on, you didn't investigate anything.
Mm-hmm.
How could you? You ain't, because you're not going to investigate yourself, first of all. You can't investigate yourself. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're absolutely right, and it's crazy, but this is, you know, the pain. Let me tell you, son, and I want to give a real voice of love to my Aunt Mamie Hammond and to my Uncle Flip. But I watched my whole family. Let me tell you something, sis. I watched my whole family, like, just endure crushing pressure and pain. You know, and, you know, you hear of people going through experiences and you just never imagine it happening to your family. Here I returned home, and then my brother was taken home. You know what I mean? So for my family, it was like a real crushing blow. And the sad thing is I realized that, you know, I need to get my podcast going. Right after, you know, going through the whole situation and going through that morning, with my family, I was like, I got to get back on. I got to get back to addressing the issues because somebody's got to be the voice. Somebody's got to be, you know, got to stay on top of these things and make these things relevant. Because right now, you know, our society, we've desensitized so deep, like it's irrelevant. You know, people don't care. They don't care how they present themselves. They don't care what's happening out here as long as it's not happening to them at that present moment. See, If it's not impacting them at that present moment, they just don't care. They're desensitized.
And then they want the world to stop when it does happen to them. When it happens to them, they want the whole world to stop. When they should have been planting the seeds.
Right.
They should have been planting the seeds the whole way of helping your fellow man. And then when you cry out, they're already there. There's no question where your help is coming from. But a lot of people question where their help coming from because they don't plant those seeds. You can't make a withdrawal without making a deposit.
Hello, that's right. So, and what you're saying then is that, you know, when you, as you say to me a lot, when you go to support others, others will come to support you.
That's right. Like I don't have, I don't have any attachments, but love and loyalty for the founders of Freedom Over Everything. I have a brother who's at a whole nother facility, and he showed love to Freedom Over Everything because we all believe in what the cause is, and everybody is going through something to get to something. So I have a biased heart. I don't judge anyone, and I've never been incarcerated, so I don't know. I only know what you all tell me. You know what I'm saying? For those who've been there and those who've made it through and those who've been going through.
I'm going to tell you something, not to cut your wisdom, but you sure depict it well. you going in right now. Like, especially when you talk about that medical thing and how you just broke down. See, a lot of people don't understand what goes on, what the daily trivial, which we look at as people look at it like, oh, their lifestyle is trivial. They're in there, they get up, they eat, they good. You feel what I'm saying? People don't understand that,
my best friend, and you know my best friend from childhood. I don't want to say his name because you know he's home now and he's doing great things, but you know. My best friend, sixth grade, I want to say. No, I know him since elementary school, probably third, fourth grade. When he became incarcerated in the sixth grade, I thought holding the person down was putting money on the books and go visiting when I can. Once I learned it was the in-depth of what you all go through behind the walls and the fight that y'all are putting on while incarcerated,
right.
It just opened up my mind to something totally, you know what I'm saying? It just blew me away that y'all are struggling behind the walls, not due to the nature of your crime, but due to the crimes that's going on around you all, the lack of oversight.
Yeah, because there's, as I said, the crime is not—it's not suppressed; it's heightened. And when you go into prison, what happens is there's no established point of change that is, you know, acclimated into the prison, so that the men can start working towards a structured and scheduled life as men. So you can't. Take an institution like that and baby room in. You know what I'm saying? Responsibility, governance, all of this has to be given. You know, my man Prince, man, I love him. He used to always, you know, talk about, you know, learning how to govern your life. You know what I'm saying? And I love that spoken, how he would direct that spoken reality of a man in prison. Because when you're in prison, you got to learn how to govern your life within the structure of the rules and regulations of the prison, but also the rules and regulations and the boundaries of the criminal elements, you know, in the lifestyle of prison, you know, outside of the authorities. So a lot of times people don't, it's like levels to this thing. You know, you got the,
right. I'm not sure if you accidentally hit your mute button. Hello.
No, his call dropped. So we have to wait till he called back in.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to just kind of reintroduce myself, you know, Freedom Over Everything. You know, it's a nonprofit organization that's established by incarcerated men. These men are at Buckingham Correctional Facility, and what they have done is put up a workshop to rehabilitate themselves because, as you know, parole has been abolished since 1995, and every time the opportunity come around for them to go before the parole board, they're denied, and they keep getting denied, and they keep getting denied. So what they have done is put together a workshop to kind of make sure that all their I's are dotted and all their T's are crossed, along with other men that's incarcerated that are members of FLE. And they have graduated 30 men out of their program thus far. Then COVID came up, so we've been at a pause, can't really congregate and have any schooling or meetings right now. So then they called me. I've done a number of rallies for them, 5, and then I co-chaired another rally for another organization, Defenders of Justice. So just getting our name out there and letting people at home know that these men are doing work and working diligently to come home, to be reunited with their families, and to build wealth and success for themselves. We have different programs, Book Bag Initiative, Book Bags to Briefcases, one of our initiatives, allowing the men to have business plans, LLC license, portfolios,
Hello?
Resumes. Yes. Hey.
Hello?
You back.
Hello? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. My wife was calling saying she couldn't hear me. So when I realized I wasn't there. Tina, if you can hear us now, let us know, okay? Okay, cool.
So, so we're just the program that we're Freedom Over Everything has for the gentlemen is just to make sure that when they come home that they'll be able to re-enter society with the takeoff. You know, they won't be lacking in no area, that they'll be able to come home and be able to jump right into whatever it is that their heart desires, whatever business that they've been taking while incarcerated, whatever classes and certificates and degrees that they've gotten, that they can continue that path once they come home. So we don't want nothing stopping us, nothing holding us back. As well as CUF, we're linking together to make sure that we just make sure that these men come home to something. So I just wanted
that's
to fill
right.
in while you were offline, so
no,
you can go ahead and continue where you were.
That's right, sister. You know, I'm grateful for that. Yeah, I got a little sidetracked there because I couldn't get. I lost actually my train of thought what I was doing because I was so busy trying to. I didn't realize I was gone, so when I was gone, I tried to figure out what had happened until I finally just called back in. But, you know, thank you so much for that presentation and letting everybody know. Well, like right now, we're presently working very hard, ladies and gentlemen, to anchor down a resource center. And I'm just telling you, I know there are probably some resource centers that you may be familiar with, but I can guarantee you it's not going. None of them going to be providing what we're looking to provide. So, inshallah, you know, we got a lot of work ahead of us. We're planning an event July the 1st. That's July the 1st, right, sis? That's what we plan an event for,
mm-hmm.
July the 1st. July the 1st at Authentically Me in E&M Barber Lounge on 2517 Lafayette Boulevard. We're planning an event from 2 to 7, and it's going to be a beautiful evening. community, for the families of these returning men and women. And we're going out there. We're going to have free food on the grill for you. We're even going to have a bounce house out there for the kids. And, you know, we're going to have a little DJ music, little easy music for the community. You know, some vendors will be out there. I'm hoping many vendors come out. I know a few vendors are going to be out there, but I'm hoping we load up on the vendors out there for this event. But, you know, please join us on this night, July the 1st. And that would be the weekend coming into 4th of July. So July the 1st. So I'll be sure to come on down and join us. All right? And
also, July 1st, you know, they passed.
Hello?
The release of 4,000 to 6,000 inmates was supposed to be released on July 1st. So hopefully we have returning citizens coming back home, so you'll be reunited with the family, so they'll be able to make that event, hopefully, prayerfully, you know.
Inshallah, I mean, and that's what we want this event to be. We want this event to be for the rebuilding, you know, bringing back the completeness of our families. You know what I'm saying? See, we're so immune right now to having incomplete family that we don't even realize. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing now. You know what I mean? When you think of an American African family, you don't think of the father and mother in the home. You think of the mom.
You asked me the other day, what am I cooking? And I said, well, I love to cook, but you know, my kids eat like little birds. You know, they're little kids. So I don't really, I'm not able to make those trays of food or hand out the big piece of chicken to the man at the house, because there is no man at the house. So I miss being able to cook.
Well, that's right.
To cook and just do the little things that you do as a woman, being submissive to a man or, you know, catering to a husband and thus forth. So, you know, a lot, you know, just for the woman to sleep.
Since I don't know if I can be the man of the house, but I sure love to be a man at the table to get all that good cooking. We can bring it all back now. We can bring
Love cooking. That's my thing. I love to cook. I always do Thanksgiving, Christmas dinners, and my nephews and my brother and them come. But, you know, just, you know, making families whole again, you know, like you said, having that men in the house and not just a bunch of women in the kitchen all the time. Who we cooking for? You know what I'm saying? We got a bunch
that's
of women
right.
in the kitchen, but who are we cooking for? So, most definitely. That don't apply to all households, I know, but I'm just speaking for the single women and, you know, the mother, the fatherless child.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And that's what we intend that day to be, making families whole again day. That's what we intended that day to be, y'all. So, y'all, you know, come on out. But this past weekend, yesterday was my born day, and we was together at Williamsburg Street. What was that, sis? What's the name of it? Williamsburg?
The flea market on Williamsburg Road. Mm-hmm.
On Williamsburg Road in Richmond. And we were, mm-hmm. you know, really enjoying ourselves out there with a number of some of our proteges, Brother Willie, Shaquille Ali, Brother Infant, you know what I'm saying? And we met up with those guys. And, man, I had a good time out there. How about yourself, sis?
You know, just to see y'all, you know, like I said, just to see you all as men conjugating fellowship and, you know, just showing love to one another who've been in the struggle together and have made it on the other side, it's just a beautiful thing to see y'all, you know, progressing the way that you all progress. I be weeping in the inside just watching y'all. I just love to see kings amongst kings. And that is like the thing that I would like to see in a more massive group setting, you know,
right.
To see all of you all, you know, who have fallen short.
Well, like,
standing again. We did it. But yeah, just to see y'all, just to see y'all together, it's amazing.
And you know what? Like, I'm grateful that, you know, like, you're expressing this, because you are expressing exactly what so many mothers, wives, sisters, daughters, you know what I'm saying, aunts, cousins, what they go through when they're these, you know, these men, these amazing men, like I like to call, we are truth survivors, you know what I'm saying? Because when I was in that situation, and we're going to, in a minute, y'all, we're going to see if we have any call-ins, but when I was in the prison, and I was in the prison, you know, I'm telling you, like, I got so many brothers that my family is so large right now. Like, my family is so large. Like, it's unbelievable. It's what they call that, fraternity or fraternity? What is it? A sorority? Fraternity, right? It's for men? Mm-hmm. What is it? For men, it's a fraternity, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, to me, it's like that elite force people, man, when I talk about. When you meet so many of these guys who have accomplished all the things that they have accomplished after going through everything that they went through, you understand? It's amazing. It's amazing. So we have a ton of stories to share and listen to throughout the next coming week. Every Sunday, we'll be here. Jay, do we have any call-in, Jason? I know we got one. Hey, Sean, you there? Am I there?
Yeah, I'm here. We got some callers, but
nobody hit that button. Listen, I want to remind everybody, if you would like to speak, please hit one. Please press one so that we can take any questions or anything that you would like to add. You know, it's very important to us. Anything that you would like to inform us of, please feel free to do so. And if you just want to give some love, you know what I'm saying? Get the love. You know, that's what it's about, you know. And, you know, so feel free, guys, to dial on in and say something, you know, that you feel it need to be said. Somebody need to call on this first show. This is the first show, y'all. We done been gone for a while. I know y'all got something to say. Come on, man. So, you know, let's pick up that line. Don't be shy now, because y'all be calling me, giving me the business. No, come on, pick up the line and hit that number one, dial one, if you would like to say something. Dial one, if you would like to say something and speak to us tonight. We'd love to hear what you have to say. But, you know, it's really a beautiful thing that what we're doing here, sis. Inshallah, I look forward to this
it's
journey
all
with
about
you, man.
Yeah, it's all about communication. Communication is key. You know, communication is knowledge. You know, we can all learn from each other.
That's right.
To have a torch to die with you is unfair to anybody else. It's all about passing the torch and leaving a legacy for the next generation. So I'm all for, you know, sharing my nuggets. I'm all for, you know, teaching and passing on what I know to anybody who's willing to listen. You know,
that's right.
Each one teach one. How do they say each one teach one? So
right.
This has been a book. This is definitely a book.
Well, everybody. I think we you know, I'm trying to re-stimulate that concept. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, because at the end of the day, I believe it takes a village to raise a nation. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's where the nation begins. Yeah, you know, the nation begins.
We're so brainwashed into minding our business and brushing stuff under the rug as if it's not. We're putting lipstick on a pig, but yeah. No, we most definitely got to help each other out.
See, that's why I got with you. Because you're right to the point. You're absolutely 100% right. That's exactly why I said, man, we got to do this together. You know, I can't even imagine my show without you, because you definitely hit it right on the head, man. It's like crazy.
Appreciate that.
You know?
When I saw you speak, I was like, okay, he is not cutting no corners. He's straight to the point. I really enjoy you. I most definitely enjoy you as well.
Well, I'm glad
I think we met at the Black Collective. Black Collective is where we met when they had their banquet.
Yes. But see, it was crazy for me because when you told me you was with FOE, I didn't really have a clue what you was talking about. And then I didn't know. So when I called Shaquille Ali, I was like, man, what? He was like, man, that sister there is going to call you. And I'm telling you, she's going to bring you in on everything she's doing. And I was like, okay. I said, who is she? He said, man, that's the, she's the one, young lady who runs Nadia's. I said, Nadia? He said, yeah, Nadia. I said, man, hold up. Nadia, look, my brother from Asbury. He was like, yeah. I was like, oh, no. What? She talked to Nadia? He was like, yeah. I was like, oh, no. Ain't nobody tell me this. And then that's when I went on and online and I was hitting you up, you know. But see how Allah works. Timing is everything. You know what I'm saying?
It most definitely
Allah
is.
You know, Allah's
and
put on, we pray
I
with Allah's
best. You all work. I know for sure you all was reserved for this time. You may think of being incarcerated was a bad, but it built character in you all. It built integrity.
Exactly.
You all have come home and most of y'all have surprised me beyond measure. You know, you all get such
a bad rap,
but I look at the majority of you all have done beautiful things coming home. You've exceeded people who've been out here for and never been locked up. Some of you all have exceeded those who've been out here the whole entire time. So I appreciate y'all. I love y'all wholeheartedly. My love is unconditional. I always say that.
Oh, thank you so much.
And,
I love you too. Hey, you know something? Yeah. I got to share this with everybody. This is a true story. We were on the phone. We were talking. We were building. Now, mind you, this is my sister's struggle, guys. Let me just be clear across the board with you. This is professionalism. This is, you know, strictly for the cause. This is real, genuine love. And we were on the phone. This is family. This is really ignited like that. We were on the phone. And listen, God, everybody knows me. Like, I'm a real, I always let people know, like, I'm one of them people. I'm genuine. Man, we were on the phone, before I could say anything else, the sister said to me, she said, Brother Malai, I said, yes, she said, Brother Malai, I love you, okay? And I said, oh, man, sis, I love you too. You know, see, and what that meant to me was that I'm doing something right. I'm doing something right because she was telling me she loved me because I was a man there for her, and she was seeing me as a man that would be there for her. That told her, I let her know I had her back in anything she needed me to do. And I wasn't just telling her. I was literally showing her as I was talking to her. So, brothers, we got to be there for our sisters. We got to be there for our women, our queens, our first teachers, our backbone. We have to be there for, we have to stop this domestic killing of our women. We have to stop this the slaying of slavery that they partake upon our women with the workforce. We have to start fighting for our women. We have to. They've been fighting for us
vice
for years.
Versa. And women, we have to fight for our men, our kings. You know, it's time to stop listening to, it's funny because they want us to think that we're better off by ourselves and that we don't need you all because they put a system in place with food stamps and subsidized housing. And then you think that, and so that exits the men out when in Ashton, you know, it's just a, and it's called a project for a reason because that's what we are to them, we're projects.
Yeah, but, I love what you said. Like, people really need it. Yeah, because everybody, yo, I'm from the project. Yeah, you from that project. That's what they got you logged as in the book when they go back and, and do their research, and they bust their research open. Yeah, project so-and-so. How has that been turning out? And how did that turn out in such and such year? You know, what were the statistics? And, you know, people people don't, you know, they go around and they do these surveys and all of this quota stuff, you know. It's crazy. Like, we need to really pay attention. We need to really pay attention because we be slipping.
It brainwashed us into thinking that we didn't need you all, and, you know, and it's evident that we do. It's evident within in the raising of our children. The boys are misguided and misled because there's no discipline in the house.
That's right.
It's evident that we needed you all because a lot of things that you all can do, the strength that you all have, we don't have as women, you
right.
know.
We got 10 minutes and 5 mm-hmm. minutes I want us to take. But since real quick, how can we as men and women who have these psychological defects that are causing us to stray away from the bond that we should nourish together, what things can we do to just give us a few things that you feel can be done that can help rebuild that bond between American African women and men?
For one, I think turning off the TV.
Okay.
Turn off
That's
the
right.
television is number one. I have not, if I watch television, I don't even watch the news hardly. If I'm turning on the television, it's because someone told me to, you got to see this movie or you got to see this program. I hear the news from my coworkers most of the time because I really don't want that stuff in my spirit, for one. It's junk. I think that, you know, to mend broken families, we have to have more conversations. A lot of times, you know, there's always one that loves to talk and there's always one that don't like to talk, right? The person that's quiet is more of an analyst. And I sit back and I was quiet for a long time because I'm non-confrontational. But now God has given me a voice to speak, and I found my voice, I could say. So I speak more so than I ever before. And it's the tough conversations that people don't like to have, you know.
I like that. I like that you pointed that out. Like, because that's that noise. That's that mm-hmm. that pollution, that corruption. Your concept. You know what I mean? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I was always taught to, you know, the loudest person in the room is probably the person that's the most wrong in what they're saying, and don't have a clue as to what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I always used to look for and watch the quiet person in the room. You know, the head. But they kept that knowledge to themselves. And that's not cool. You need to share that knowledge. You need to share, you know, quiet that loud person down and allow the person that's quiet to speak. Because it's, you know, how they say talking loud and saying nothing. That's a true statement.
That's right.
So I've learned I've learned to, you know, share my knowledge, speak my truth, and to really have unconditional love. We have to have unconditional love for one another.
I agree with you, but I think that I think unconditional love is misunderstood, that term. I think it's misunderstood.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So that term unconditional love means that you can give a person, I give you your space to, you know, to have your own way of thinking. I give you your space to do whatever it is that you feel that you need to do. But then I have a way of showing you, or it comes back that you were wrong in that moment or you were right in that moment. And we can, when it's all calm, then you can have that conversation, right? I don't just leave you and say, ooh, look what she got on, look what he said, or he said that, and I ain't going to tell him how stupid he sounded. Later on, I'm going to let you know, you know, that was, like, you got to look at it from an I always look at things from a spiritual, natural, and physical standpoint. Don't leave out one or the other. You always have to look at a situation from those three aspects. Because at the end of the day, people are taught what they know. I mean, they were taught that by someone else. They're just not doing it because that's what they want to do most of the time. They were taught that way. My tool belt was not all the way full. I didn't have all the tools. My mom and my father separated when I was 14, so I didn't have all the tools myself. And then what could I give my girls? But I made sure when I had my children that I surrounded my children with, even though I was never married, I surrounded my kids with married couples. All of my friends was predominantly married.
I don't know what's going on with these guys. They blind. I don't know. I told y'all, I'm telling you, my sisters, I got some bad sisters around me, bro. I don't know what y'all waiting for, but y'all better tighten up. All right. But we got 5 minutes, y'all, here, and alhamdulillah, we want to first and foremost give praise and glorification to Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, Lord of all of mankind and jinn that exists, and we are so thankful for this opportunity, most importantly, to have your audience. We thank you for giving us your time and listening, and before we close, Jay, did we get anybody?
He said there was people there. It's okay.
Yeah, we didn't get nobody to speak.
They just listening.
It's all right. I'm grateful for the listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Point of Impact, where we'll be returning next week, and we hope to have a beautiful guest on board. We're looking to hopefully get in touch with Ubeda and have him join us. I think you're going to adore this guy. He's a beautiful dude, one of the best people I know that I met and became someone very dear to me. Alhamdulillah, and I'm going to let him tell you his story. Sister, you want to give any love before we hang up?
I just want to love on everybody that loves on each other. You know, we got to keep lifting one another up. Shout out to Nadia, Katie, and OJ at Buckingham Correctional Facility. You know, the founders of FOE, my brothers from another mother, and all those that's incarcerated. You know, my brother Hassan, Deli, at Lawrenceville Correctional Facility, Free Michael Crump. You know, I got my better half. He's at Greenville right now, Montreal McInnes. But I have a lot of brothers. And my godson, he's Anthony Teasley. He's at Sussex 1. So I have a lot of brothers that are behind me and members of Freedom Over Everything. I love you all with the love of the Lord. So, you know.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. This is truly a God-fearing program. So don't call up here acting like you don't know Allah. You don't know Allah. You don't know God. Don't call up here acting crazy. We gonna restrain you, all right? So, look, we love everybody. Thank you all for supporting us today. We got to go. Sis, you know what it is. You know I love you. We're going to be back here next week doing our thing.
Love you more.
Please join us. And everyone, please, I want everyone right now, I want you to just, anything, stop what you're doing and do something right now that will benefit you in this life and the hereafter, that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community and your locality. And with that, I'm gone. See you all next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe. And if anything we said that is an error, or, you know, may Allah forgive us and may you forgive us. And please, don't throw us under the bus.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, everyone.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
All right.
love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and thought I would a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick, can fake a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're a lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.